We're going to look in Isaiah chapter 9 tonight, in Isaiah chapter 9, but it's kind of a short message, so I thought I'd do a couple things here just as we're getting started. I know it seems like forever ago, but a while back I went to Bible college 20 years ago, so and one of the things that I did when I was in Bible college, I worked for their public safety department. And so part of that training was fire response. We were trained to respond to all sorts of different emergencies or potential emergencies. Most of them not really emergencies, but potential emergencies. And one of those was fire training, and we got some fire safety training. And so what I wanted to do tonight, just to kind of break things up just a little bit, and just kind of give you some things that are real practical, real helpful for you, even as you go home. So, I mean, these are very, very important things. So I thought that tonight we could start with some fire safety training, all right? These numbers here, I mean, the first thing, obviously, fire is deadly. If we're not careful, fire can really do some real damage, even take a life. So these are some numbers here from last year, 2018. There were 1.3 million fire incidents reported last year. This is nationwide. So this is that's a pretty big number. I mean, 1.3 million fire incidents reported. How many of you reported a fire incident? No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. But it is something that is that's taking place, and it takes place before you even realize it. There were 14,670 fire-related injuries, people being burned or injured as a result of a fire being started. There were 3,400 deaths because of fires last year. And of course, some of those wildfires that we've heard about in the news and different things. So it's something that's very important. $23 billion in losses over the course of 2018. Those are 2018 numbers from the U.S. Fire Administration there. Secondly, fire requires very little to get started. If we remember this, it takes so little, especially out here where things are dry and things are hot. It really does not take much at all to get a fire started. What are some components? What three things do we need in order to start a fire? Yes, ma'am. Oxygen and she said oxygen. All right. In a more general sense, we need fuel, something to burn, right? And then the third thing we need is so we need heat. We need heat, we need oxygen, and we need fuel. It forms for us the fire triangle. And so the thing that makes fire so deadly is the chemical process that takes place when all of these things combine. It perpetuates its own self. So as the fuel is being burned, it creates more heat and just keeps going. This is what makes fire so so absolutely dangerous. And if we're not careful, it really doesn't take very much at all. So when you're out and you're at a barbecue or at a campfire, and maybe if there's dry brush around, wet that stuff down or take some precautions, because it really does not take very much at all to get fire started. The third thing, fire spreads very quickly. Fire spreads very, very quickly. A typical structure fire quadruples every 3 seconds. That's very fast. And of course, you're talking a fire that travels up walls and that will consume a building. In fact, a two-story building will be completely engulfed in less than 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes, a two-story structure will be beyond rescue. Rescue no longer possible as far as salvaging that building. Takes less than 5 minutes. You say, well, that happens really, really fast. It certainly does. It is extremely fast. And so this is why having things like smoke detectors, smoke sensors, some sort of plan like that is so very important, especially in your home. And so the thing that's really alarming about that five-minute number is that the National Fire Protection Agency, this bill that they have, establishes a 5-minute and 20-second response time goal for not less than 90% of dispatch fire incidents. And so their goal is to reach that incident within 5 minutes and 20 seconds for at least 90% of their dispatched calls. 90%. So you just hope that you're not in that little 10%, right? But that's their goal, 5 minutes and 20 seconds. All right, so a couple other things about fire. Fire consumes everything in its path. Have you noticed that? Everything. It does not matter. Fire is not a respecter of persons. It will just consume everything. If you have if there's a fuel source there, it will burn it up. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do. Sometimes even being close enough, just being close is enough to be consumed. When we were, I was probably, 8, 9 years old, and we had gone on a family vacation. One of the activities that we were looking forward to is a huge bonfire. We made this huge bonfire in my uncle's field, and we lit that thing off, and we were having such a good time. We were just tossing stuff in, and what we did not realize is that there was a huge oak tree that was close enough. It wasn't directly over the fire, but it was close enough that it began to burn. And so we just have to remember these things. Fire will consume everything in its path, even something like, I didn't mean to get that. It doesn't really matter. Fire is just going to keep going. It's not, you can't train it to, ooh, good fire. You can't train it to do what you want it to do. It will just consume everything. We got to be especially careful with those things. Number five here is that the effects of fire can cause damage that's actually beyond repair. The heat from fire can cause damages. Look at some of these pictures here. This structure right here did not burn. All of the charring that you see there, that is heat from a nearby fire. This picture right here, probably one of my favorite ones. The vinyl siding right there has been deformed because where those bricks are at, that used to be where they kept their grill, their barbecue. So that's just heat. Heat can cause that kind of damage. Here's a garage that had some vinyl siding, and this heat damage right here was caused by a natural gas explosion. There was a huge fireball, and the heat from that, even in just that split second of the fire of that fireball exploding, cause that kind of damage. So just remember, the effects of fire can cause damage. Smoke damage. Here's some damage. This kitchen right here, the fire was not in this kitchen, but you can see how the kitchen is completely smoke damaged right there. Same over here. You see up on the ceiling, and then this one here, the fire from this building. Where this picture was taken, the fire was in this room over here, and you can see where the smoke came billowing out of the doorway here, and all of that is smoke damage. And so that smoke damage is not something that you just, get a rag and wipe it off. All of that's got to be torn out. All of that's got to be replaced. And so smoke does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Yep, before the fire even gets there. It's absolutely right. Some of the other things that can cause damage is when the fire department does come to put the fire out, what are they going to use? Water. Well, guess what? If you spray water in a room, guess what there is? There's water damage. Here's some of these electrical components underneath here caught fire. The real damage done in this home was not the fire, it was not the smoke, it was the water from all over this building because of the because of the water damage that the fire department used to put out the fire. Now, of course, you'd rather have water damage than a burned up house, but it is damaging nonetheless. All right. A couple of things to remember, two things to remember, and then we're done. We'll move on here. All right. And I know you're probably thinking, why is he talking to us about this? Because it's important. It's important. These are life lessons. I'm here to help you on a practical level all the way around. Number six, escape routes are so very important. I would encourage you to plan ahead. That way you can stay alive, right? Draw up a plan. This is my primary escape route. This is my secondary escape route. This is our meeting place that we can have. This is just a very simple little drawing just to give you an idea of some things that we need to be thinking through all the time. And then number seven, fire extinguishers. Fire extinguishers, so very important. How many of you have a fire extinguisher in your home? In your home, you have one in your home, and you know where it is, and you know how to use it. All right, a couple hands went down. That's all right. Fire extinguishers are very important. How many of you have one in your cabin? How many of you know, or attached to your cabin? The cabins, the fire extinguishers are. Yeah, it's outside by the by one of those doors outside or on the corner of the building there, and so these are very, very important. Knowing what kind of fire extinguisher, knowing where they're located, obviously it does you absolutely no good if you don't know where it's at. Keep them serviced and usable. How many of you know that your fire extinguisher you have in your home right now has been serviced in the last year? Things we got to keep up on, all right? Keep them serviced, keep them usable, and then, of course, use them properly. What is our key word for using a fire extinguisher? What four-letter word do we need to remember?
I know this one.
My lovely assistant has the answer. She is dying to share it with you. What is the answer?
Pass.
Absolutely. We need to remember pass. This is how to use a fire extinguisher correctly. P, of course, means
pull
what? Yes, pull the pin. Fire extinguisher doesn't work when the pin is still in it. A means
aim.
How many of you think it's aim high, like the Air Force? How many of you think it's aim low at the base of the fire? Aim low is correct. And then the first S means
swipe
your card. Somebody's got to pay for this. No, it doesn't. Well, actually, before you do that, you need to
squeeze
the lever or the lever or the handle. Make it easier on yourself. Squeeze the lever and then
sweep.
Right, sweep. You don't swipe. Swipe is what you do with your credit card or at the store when you can't afford something. But do sweep it. Sweep side to side. All right. Listen, I know it seems a little bit odd, it's a little bit out of place, but if we remember some of this fire safety training, it's so easy and it's so simple, but it really could save lives. All right, now, let's look at Isaiah chapter number 9, and we are going to find verse number 18. Finding verse number 18, and then let's look at this together. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. I know some of you were like, aha, I knew there was a trick in there somewhere. He did not gather us together here today to talk just about fire safety and fire training. You're absolutely right. The Bible tells us, though, that wickedness burneth as a fire. However, everything that we've discussed up to this point is absolutely true. I really did, when I was in college, work for the Department of Public Safety. I really did get fire training, just some small amount of fire training, all right? And so for me, This means that whatever I can think of that how fire acts and reacts and responds, the same is true of wickedness. The Bible tells us wickedness burns like a fire. All right, so if we then can take that, we can say sin is like fire. So let's put the two of them together, right, across from each other. We're saying, okay, then fire is deadly. Fire starts easily, it spreads quickly, consumes everything, and the effects cause damage. All right, so if we're going to say that all of that is true, then we should probably find some scripture to back it up, right? So I found some scripture. Don't worry, you don't need to turn to all of these, but you can write the references down as we go. Sin is indeed deadly. Proverbs 11, verse 19 says, "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." Sin is deadly. A more well-known verse, Romans 6, verse 23, tells us very, very plainly, the wages of sin is death. Now, you start, what are wages? Wages is something that you earn, right? And it would be wrong for you to earn something and then it be withheld from you, right? If you went and you did and you got a job and you worked 40 hours all week long at this job, 8 to 5 every day, you would expect that there be some wages at the end of that. Because you earned it. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. It is what we have earned. It is what we deserve. Deserve is always is one of those red flag words for me. There should be some words for you that you develop. Deserve is one of those words for me. Anytime someone tells me I deserve something, sometimes people tell me this, "Pastor, you deserve this." Whoa, wait a minute, that's a big red flag word for me. Don't talk to me about what I deserve, because what I deserve is right there in that verse. What I deserve is death. This is not talking about just a physical death, like when you get old like me and you die. It's talking about spiritual death. Forever dead. Always, and the Bible describes it as always dying but never dead. It's just, what an awful, awful thing. And that would be the eternal condition for one who does not follow the second half of this verse. I'm so glad that verse doesn't stop there. It keeps on going. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even though sin is deadly, what is he telling us? We don't have to die. We don't have to struggle through. We don't have to pay the wages or accept the wages of sin. Jesus accepted that on the cross. We talked about that last night. There is hope for every single one of us. It's a gift. All you need to do to receive a gift is just receive it. That's it. So just as fire is deadly, sin is in fact deadly according to Scripture. Secondly, sin requires very little to get started. Have you ever thought about this? How much work do you have to do to sin? The truth is, most of the time, because we like to think of ourselves better than we really are, we always think, well, I haven't sinned because I haven't, and then we jump to these big things. I haven't sinned because I haven't killed anybody. I haven't sinned because I haven't stolen more than a couple dollars worth of stuff. I'm okay, and I haven't sinned because, and we have all these big, huge things. I've not committed adultery, and I've not gone off, and I've not done all this stuff. But the Bible tells us that it's very little required in order to sin. What does the Bible tell us? In Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Wait a minute. Jesus said all of these things, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy, all of these things are heart issues. According to the Word of God, you don't actually have to do that. You don't actually have to steal that. It's a matter of the heart. Ooh. Well, that doesn't take very much to get that going then, does it? What about Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Sin takes just, if sin can start with just a tiny little thought and then blossom into a full-blown sin, your life can be completely engulfed in a very, very short amount of time. That means that we have to keep our heart right. Not just what we do on the outside, but who we are on the inside. Just as we learned earlier this week as we looked at the life of David. Thirdly, sin spreads very quickly. Ezra 9 verse 6 and said, "Oh my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens." Have you ever noticed that? Once you start sinning, it gets out of control so fast. You know, if you tell, you think, "Oh, I'm gonna have to lie to my parents to get away from this one sin." Well, first of all, you've already committed one sin. Now you're adding another sin onto that sin to try to cover that sin. And then your parents, because they're smart, some of them, maybe, because your parents, God gives your parents wisdom, they start asking questions. Then you have to lie to cover the lie, to cover the sin that you've already done. Sin gets out of control so quickly. It spreads so fast. Number four, sin consumes everything in its path. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I grew up in the South. I grew up in Northeast Florida, and there we have a lot of pine trees. And so we would go, and anytime we had some sort of fire outside, a cookout or barbecue, anything like that, when we did a fire outside, we thought it was the greatest thing once we discovered that this would take place. You can get a huge bundle of pine needles, just like we have right out here under these pine trees. Except these pine needles are like really short. The pine needles that we grab, they're like really long. They're like this. It's amazing. So you can grab a whole bundle of pine needles and you can throw it on top of the fire. And for just a minute, you think, I just killed the fire. It can't breathe. I just killed it. You're there and you've got your hot dogs and your s'mores and everything is good. Your face is warm because you feel the fire. You toss all of these pine needles on it and everything gets cold and it's dark. And you're like, "Oh, I think I just killed the fire." You give it just a minute and some white smoke will start billowing out from in between all of those pine needles. And then just like that, that thing, the entire thing will ignite and all of it will burn up. It's really kind of fun. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go play with fire tonight, but it really is kind of cool. You know what? This verse reminds me of us doing that as kids. You can try to cover up your fire, and it might seem like it worked for just a minute. But the Bible tells us that if you're trying to cover up your sins, you're not going to prosper. God will cause that thing, especially if you're a child of God, He will cause that thing to ignite and to blow up, and it will be out of control. It'll consume everything, anything that you use to try to cover up. Ezekiel 8, verses 12 and 13, and then verse 15. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. at a point in Israel's history, they had thought that God had forsaken them. He left them to themselves, and he didn't care what they did anymore. In fact, they had convinced themselves, God can't even see us. If God could see us, he would judge us right now because of what's going on. Now, I must admit to you, I've thought that same thing. If God could see me, then he would have already judged me. If God is real, and if God is there, then he's going to judge me, and he's not judging me, so he's either not there or he doesn't care. Well, that's not how God works. God doesn't do things based on what I think God should do. God does what will bring him the most glory. So when he says here, you will see greater and greater abominations. My friend, we must do right because it is the right thing to do, no matter what. Just do right because it's the right thing to do. If you've convinced yourself that God doesn't see or that God doesn't care, you will find that the sin will consume everything about your life. The fifth thing that we talked about, the fire sin's effects can cause damage that's beyond repair. Look at this verse, Psalm 37, verse 28. It says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. One of the Bible truths that we talk about at our church often is the fact that you can choose the sin, but you cannot choose the consequences. You can choose what your sin will be, but you don't get to choose the consequences of that sin. So many times I've seen young people sit through services just like this, and they've decided that God doesn't care, that God doesn't know, or that they can get away with it, or they can cover it up. My friend, today they're still suffering the consequences of that choice, that decision that they've made. The other Bible truths that we share often is that your sin affects other people. Think about this. He says, the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. That means that their family coming after them pays the consequences, endures some of the consequences because of their sin. That's an awful, scary thought. My sin affects more than just me. Just like if I were to start a fire right here tonight, that affects more than just me. It affects everyone here. My sin affects other people. My sin affects my family. My sin affects my wife. My sin affects my children. My sin affects you. My sin affects other people. The Bible tells us that sin's effect caused damage. It's just beyond repair. So as we consider these two side by side, both fire and sin, they're deadly. They start easily. They spread quickly. They consume everything in their path. They cause damage. Now, sometimes just beyond repair. All right, looking at this list, you might think, well, no, wait a minute. There were seven things, weren't there? Yes, there were. There were seven things. But number six, we talked about the escape route, developing a plan for escaping a fire. Isn't that important? And shouldn't that be something that we stop and we think about every now and then, a fire escape plan? You know what? God has given us a sin escape route. We find it in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Just as we would have an escape route for a fire, we need to have an escape route for sin. The Bible talks about not making provision for our flesh. You know what that means? That means we got to stop and we got to think about, how am I going to live right? Not just determined to live right, but let me enact a plan for doing what is right all the time, all day, every decision, every choice. I need to decide to do what is right, and I need to plan right now to do what is right down the road. You might be thinking of some things in your life right now. You're like, man, I don't know. I'm just so wrapped up in this thing. I don't think there is a way of escape. There is. You might be thinking, well, man, I've tried stopping that sin, but every time it just consumes me, and it just, every single time I turn around, it's just there. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about that too. In Romans, he said, the things that I want to do, the things that I should do, those things I don't do. And the things that I know that I shouldn't do, those are the things I end up doing. Ah! We have to make a plan for stopping the sin, for extinguishing the sin in our life. So, we have a sin extinguisher. Right, we have a sin extinguisher. Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The word of God is a sin extinguisher. The word of God will help you, instruct you, and show you the right way. But you have to read it and you have to obey it. There is a very common phrase that we use, that we teach, that we learn as small children. If you're on fire, your clothes catch fire, someone else is on fire, you need to help them. There are three things that we are told to do. What are they?
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. That is the fastest way to extinguish a fire that's on your clothing or on your person. You know, I thought about that statement. I thought, you know what? When sometimes you don't even realize how much sin you've accumulated. And you stop and you think, well, wait a minute. I can't just stop at this point. I'm just completely consumed. Well, I have a spiritual solution for us. Stop, drop, and read. It might seem overly simplified, but listen, stop the sinning. I just tell lies all the time. Well, stop. Stop telling lies. Just determine you that's not how you're going to be, and stop it. Put a stop to it. What about drop? Drop to your knees in prayer. This is what the Bible calls confession. Confessing our sin. When we get on our knees before God and confess our sin, it's all part of the process. I mean, just as you wouldn't say someone who's on fire, you just say, "Okay, stop." Well, that's not enough. You have to drop too. You have to get on the ground. You've got to put something. Something has to smother that sin and cover it over. And this is what confession does for us. And then, of course, read. Read and apply God's word. This is the process that God talks about, forsaking the sin. Forsake the sin. It's the process of turning away from it. Now, you might in your mind be thinking, yeah, Pastor, that's all fine and good, but you don't know some of the things I've done. You don't know how far along I actually am in this thing, and I'm just completely wrapped up in it. I don't think it's possible. The truth is, I don't even think God would forgive me. I don't think God would ever use me for anything because of the things that I've done already in my life. Can I share with you a verse? The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, if we do this process, confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. What a great promise, right? Isn't that a great promise? You can say yes. Isn't that a great promise?
Yes.
Absolutely. If we'll confess it, He'll forgive it. You know something? That verse does not stop right there. If we confess our sin, God will do two things for us. He says he will forgive our sin. That's something that takes place instantly. It is forgiven. And when God forgives sin, he removes it from us. He separates it from himself as far as the east is from the west, he tells us. It's forgiven. It's buried. He chooses not to remember that anymore. That's awesome. But that's just the first thing. That verse goes on to say, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second part is a process. It's a continual process. That means God does the cleansing of the heart to make us, turn us into someone that we ought to be, someone that doesn't continually run to the sin all the time. God even helps us with that. But my friend, this is so very important. Just stop the sinning, confess it, and forsake it. Be rid of it. I know so many young people who've absolutely ruined their lives. We could tell stories all night long. I'll not take the time to do it. But listen, you right now, tonight, can decide, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to allow sin to consume my life. I want my life to be consumed with the Word of God. I want God to consume my life. I want to be used by God. I want to yield right now, be completely usable by God. I want to be like that raw egg with all that potential, can be anything that God wants me to be. He'll do it for you. If we'll confess, if we'll forsake the sin that's already there in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for the promises of Scripture, that you would forgive us of our sin and that you would cleanse us from unrighteousness. Lord, tonight I pray that you would help us. As we leave from here and as we go outside and as we reflect on these few simple things tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage to speak to our counselor. Give us the wisdom to know what decisions need to be made. And give our counselors wisdom in leading us to your word and helping us in real tangible ways to deal with our own self, our sin that so easily takes over and consumes us.